हरिः ॐ
सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 53. The Yamadutas ask Yamaraj questions 6, 7, and 6, 8 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 6, 7. Srimad Bhagavatam 6, 3, 4. The Yamadutas said, Our dear Lord, how many controllers or rulers are there in this material world? How many causes are responsible for manifesting the various results of activities performed under the three modes of material nature? Sattva-gun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. Yamaraj answers this question, verses 12 through 17, as mentioned above in the question to, answer to question 6.5. Question 6.8. As soon as the sinful Yamaraj uttered the name Narayana, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, do not fear. We wish to know about them from your lordship. If you think we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are. So you see in the kind of questions that they ask, it's a matter of they're asking that this is what I'd like to know, but if I'm qualified, then you explain it. Not that, you know, I have a right, I demand an answer and this and that, because that's always going to be a problem. Because you actually have to be able to understand the answer, right? Otherwise, then, you know. Yamaraj answers this question in verses 17 and 18. In summary, they, the Vishnudutas, always wander within this world with full independence and are worshipped even by the demigods. The Vishnudutas protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my, Yamaraja's, jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances. A rhetorical question uttered by Yamaraj in verses 14 to 15 does not come under the study. I, Yamaraj, Indra, the king of heaven, Niriti, Varuna, Chandra, the moon god, Agni, Lord Shiva, Pavana, Lord Brahma, Surya, the sun god, Vishvasu, the eight Vasus, the Sadhyas, the Maruts, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and Marichi, and the other great rishis engaged in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods headed by Brihaspati, and the great sages headed by Bhrigu, are all certainly free from the influence of the two base material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of others who under illusion, merely speculate to know God? Right? So they're in goodness and they can't know Krishna, right? Because that's not enough. Pure goodness is required, right? And that pure goodness comes by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So if that's there, then these things will work. And if that's not there, they will not work. Yeah. Yes?
So the rhetorical question, if it's not there, and if we don't understand, means the mercy is not there?
Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it.
So then we can ask for mercy.
Then we ask for mercy, right? The point is how you say it? Is it ask and ye shall receive. Like that, you know, so that's the whole point. You want, then you get. You don't want, then you generally don't get. Unless there's something wrong. And that you don't have to worry. You don't have to make any separate endeavor for that. That'll come naturally on its own very easily.
You don't have to worry.
We don't have to worry. There should be no anxiety. So the point is because it's a change in perspective, it's a change in consciousness, going to change how we deal. So we actually have to want it. We're just thinking it'll just happen. But, you know, so many things just happen. But this is something more major, where we have to have the consciousness that this is what I want, because otherwise, then why would Krishna give himself if we don't want that relationship?
Because if he gives himself, he might want this relationship, because otherwise we don't know what
it is. No, but that's what we hear from the devotees. That's what we're hearing now. Having heard this, now we have to want. Because otherwise you just give, you know, it's just like you can give, you know, a 5-carat diamond ring to a kid. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. Is because they don't want, then how long until they will have lost it? Yeah, you know, a few minutes. Okay, now let's say you have a young girl. She wants to get married. You give her that 5-carat engagement ring. How long does she have it?
Right?
Yes, so that could be the whole lifetime. Right. You understand? So that's the thing. You want it, then it works. So it's all about desire. Because that's actually our freedom, is desire. Previous questions discussed in this chapter. Question 6.3, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.132-36. The Yamadutas asked the Vishnudutas, "Who are you, sirs, that have the audacity to challenge the jurisdiction of Yamaraj? Dear sirs, whose servants are you? Where have you come from, and why are you forbidding us to touch the body of Ajamiya? Are you demigods from the heavenly planets? Are you sub-demigods, or are you the best of devotees? Now, sirs, why are you obstructing us?" This question, as stated in chapter 1, was not answered by the Vishnudutas in the first chapter, but is instead answered here in the third chapter by Yamaraj, right? Because otherwise they can say, but how much it'll absorb, right? There's no real need for them to say, because they know that the Yamadutas, being dutiful as they are, right? So when they can't do their duty, they're going to not be comfortable with that. So they're going to go back and ask their authority what's going on. So then it will all be explained.
Yama dutiful,
yes. Yes, very dutiful. Yeah. Yes.
Can we make a distinction between Yamaraj and Vyasadeva? Because Yamaraj is one man.
It's just a matter of any Mahajan and the Devas will be different. So the point is that he's a devotee. That's what makes him special in this way. So he would be an advanced devotee.
He's not a pure devotee.
That may be. Generally, when we say Mahajans, we mean pure devotees.
Yes.
Like that. So Mahajan, otherwise, why be Maha? You just Jana, that, yes, I can guarantee.
More liberal with that term.
Yeah, yeah, okay, let's see. A head, two arms, two legs, okay, you can check. Okay. You know,
is it by humility that he says that he's only in goodness and in goodness?
Like that. You know, it's just like the Acharyas say, I'm the most followed. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the third chapter, the servants of Yamaraj relate to him how the servants of Vishnu disrespected him, and Yamaraj teaches them the astonishing power of bhakti, right? Because they'll take it as they've been disrespected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You know, that's the whole point. Though Yamaraj was disrespected by the servants of Vishnu and his own servants, he did not become angry, but rather repented that he had not taught his servants about Vishnu. The third chapter confirms the statement of the servants of Vishnu through the mouth of Yamaraj. As related in this chapter, the Yamadutas approached Yamaraj, who very exhaustively explained Bhagavad Dharma, the religious principle of devotional service. Yamaraj thus satisfied the Yamadutas, who had been very disappointed. Yamaraj said, "Although Ajamiya was calling for his son, he chanted the holy name of Lord Narayana, and simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name, he immediately achieved the association of Lord Vishnu's order carriers. Who saved him from your attempts to arrest him? This is quite all right. It is a fact that even a chronically sinful person who chants the holy name of the Lord, although not completely without offenses, does not take another material birth.
By chanting the holy name of the Lord, Ajamil had met four order carriers of Lord Vishnu. They were very beautiful and had quickly come to rescue him. Yamaraj now described them. Right? These are quickly, because they're transcendental, so there's no time and space. Mm-hmm. Right? So wherever they like to be, whenever they like to be, they're there. Right? Because... No, they just move very quickly. They have time and space. You know, you got to have time if all you do is drag people up mountains and toss them off all day. So there's definitely got to be some time. And space, there's 800 miles, right? A glorious 800 miles. Yes. Yeah, I'm sure that they're even very careful when they toss you off, that they toss the next person in such a way that they won't land on top of you. Right? So, you know, your space is not intruded upon. Yeah. Yeah, it would. It would.
That's why it wouldn't be fair.
Yes, it wouldn't be fair. Unless the next guy also then comes, you know, piles up.
Keep piling up.
Yeah, until the last guy, you just kind of toss him on top of the pile. The Vishnu Dutas, did we already read this?
No.
Are all pure devotees of the Lord, the Supreme Person, in regard to the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation. Neither King Indra, Varuna, Shiva, Brahma, the seven rishis, nor I myself can understand the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord, who is self-sufficient and beyond the reach of the material senses. With material senses, no one can attain enlightenment about him. The Lord, the master of the illusory energy, possesses transcendental qualities for the good fortune of everyone, and his devotees are also qualified in that way. The devotees, concerned only with rescuing the fallen souls from this material world, apparently take birth in different places in the material world just to save the conditioned souls. If one is somewhat interested in spiritual life, the devotees of the Lord protect him in many ways. So it appears that they are taking birth. Like, so they just come through the same kind of medium. We're born by the modes of nature. Excuse me. They're not born by the modes of nature. Right? So they'll come and appear. So, because otherwise, if everybody just descends down, or there's a little puff of smoke and then there your person is standing, then we'll take it, oh, that's them, we can't do this. Right, so there has to be that element that they show in the same situations it can be done.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. Okay, if one is somewhat interested in spiritual life, the devotees of the Lord protect him in many ways, right? Somewhat. So that that means we'll qualify for the somewhat, yes. Yamaraj continued, the essence of Sanatana Dharma, or eternal religion, is extremely confidential. No one but the Lord himself can deliver that confidential religious system to human society. It is by the mercy of the Lord that the transcendental system of religion can be understood by the pure devotees, and specifically by the 12 Mahajans, Lord Brahma, Narad Muni, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, Sukadeva Goswami, and me. Other learned scholars headed by Jaimini are almost always covered by the illusory energy, and therefore they are more or less attracted by the flowery language of the three Vedas, namely Rig, Yajur, and Sama, which are called Trayi. Right? So religion comes from Krishna. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Right, so anything that is actual religion has come down from the Lord, right, through the devotees. But it mentions that it's only by their mercy that they can be understood. So then how much of it has come from the Lord, that's the eternal part. How much is made up, that's our part. You know? So does that make sense?
So when Bhakti Mahathakur says, we either follow religion or make it up, that means it's not actually religion we're making up, it's some kind of...
It's not transcendental religion, but it's religion of a particular nature. Why, otherwise, why would we make it up?
you know, like kids, their nature is to play, so then they'll make up games. Right? So religion means what's the inherent nature of something you can't change. Therefore, the modern academy is a religion. Modern science is a religion. Modern politics is a religion. Right? Just people don't understand it like that. You know, they'll take it, oh no, but it's not a set of rituals, but it is.
It is.
You know, very much is a set. So it's just a matter of you'll make it up or it'll be there. It means you follow what's given or you'll make it up. So that's why this idea, if we don't follow the Vedic, then we'll be free and we do it. It just means, no, you're making up your own religion, that's all.
You just have to watch the results.
Yeah, and the results aren't so good because who's managing and who's controlling it?
It's whimsical.
Yes, because it's whimsical, it's the modes of nature. Right? So at least the Vedic system, you know it's goodness, as a minimum. But anything you make up will be passion and ignorance. It has to be. It's not going to be goodness. Because goodness means following authority. Right? Passion means I'm doing, okay, something correct but for my own purpose. And ignorance means I don't actually understand what's what.
So it appears that Yamaraj is happy with his servants or workers to be on the level of Dharma. He doesn't want to take them beyond. You know, it's not like...
I don't know about that. I don't think it's that. I think it's that they're satisfied. So they don't show any inclination, so he hasn't taught. Because as soon as they ask, then immediately he teaches.
Yamaraj was... He was embarrassed that he didn't...
Yes, because they just do everything nicely every day. And
because it's a doubt for preachers, because we actually go out and try to convince people, you know, of the paradigm.
Yes.
He's not doing it.
No, because he's an office holder. Right? You know, he has his duty to do for the Lord, and he's doing it. And then these pious persons like to assist, and so he engages them. But you see, as he comes in other forms like Vidura, and there he preaches. Like that. So, you know, in what circles he does, so probably among his close associates, they discuss higher principles. But at least amongst Yamadutas aren't interested, so you don't teach them. You know?
Yes.
Three Vedas.
Why they don't mention Atharva?
Because these are the ones that have all the sacrifices for elevating to the heavenly planets. Yajna is the miscellaneous, so you know it describes warfare and chariots and Atharva.
Yeah.
It just all the miscellaneous things. Like that. You know, so it's technical details and it's important, but that's all kept in the Atharva.
Pointing out this is a Dharmam to Sakshat Bhanagat. I mean, this is one of Prabhupada's most quoted verses in the world.
Oh,
okay.
This one. Oh, it means this is where the words come from.
6319,
Oh, okay. Cool. Yes, so that's a very, very important. Right, so that's the point. He is a Mahajan because he understands what's Sanatana Dharma. So that's the point. Is the 12 Mahajans, they understand this. They can deliver this. Like that. If we're interested, then we'll learn. But if we're not interested, then we don't learn. That's the... Okay, and then Jaimini are almost always covered by. So we see now and again, Jaimini makes some very clear statements. But most of the time, he's just discussing trai. Right? How to perform your pious activities, how to have a good facility in the material world. Right, so there will be that kindness and everything, but the whole point is it's not the full package. Okay. Instead of becoming pure devotees, people captivated by the flowery words of these three Vedas are interested in the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, right? Hence, the inhabitants of Pitri Loka. You know, which the Yamadis are part. So in other words, they were part of this interest in Trayi and not in. So that would be point. They weren't interested, therefore Yamaraj doesn't discuss. Like that.
They cannot understand the glories of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Intelligent persons, however, take to the devotional service of the Lord. When they chant the holy name of the Lord without offenses, they are no longer subject to my ruling. If by chance they commit some sinful act, they are protected by the holy name of the Lord, because that is where their interest lies. Right, so that's the point. Their interest lies in the transcendental. Sometimes something happens. That's very different than one's interested in something else, and sometimes you chant Hare Krishna. Right? You know. So that's how you distinguish between what's sampradayic and what's not sampradayic. Because the sampradayic, it's about going back to Godhead. Non-sampradayic is then there's something else that's there. It may be connected with the Lord and devotional service, but it's not technically about the Lord. It's about themselves. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It does. The four weapons of the Lord, especially the club and Sudarshan Chakra, always protect the devotees. One who chants, hears, or remembers the holy name of the Lord without duplicity, or who prays or offers obeisance to the Lord, becomes perfect, whereas even a learned person may be called to hell if he is bereft of devotional service. Right? So, because it's a personal relationship, so it's about acting within that personal relationship. Right? Therefore, there's the standard of doing it properly. But at the same time, even not properly done, but there's not another motive, then one is purified. Right? Does that make sense? After Yamaraj thus described the glories of the Lord and his devotees, Sukadeva Goswami further explained the potency of chanting the holy name and the futility of performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and pious activities for atonement. Right? Because up to this point, kind of like one's involvement in all the Vedic things, so that has been left alone. Point is showing how to connect it to the Lord, right? Someone who's attached to these things, then they'll naturally follow them. Right? But at this point, we see is that that's being pointed out, that's not actually where we're at. Right? Does that make sense? So that means philosophically that we've taken exclusive shelter of the holy name, but also culturally we don't see anything else. Right? Because otherwise you say, oh yes, of course, but we say that, we do say this. And so philosophically we don't have any other process. Right? Mm-hmm. Simply because, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But culturally, do we accept it? That's the whole point. That's where you see the difference. Mm-hmm. So someone says, oh, we're devotees, we don't follow all this, but then they have a very strict code that they've made up their own religious process. Does that make sense? Yeah. Political correctness is New Age religion. It's not devotional, it's not spiritual. Does that make sense? I mean, you light some incense, you know, somehow or another close the curtains, turn the lights nightly, you know, there's not too much noise coming from outside, the neighbors aren't playing some heavy music, there's not sirens going off in the street, you sit there for a moment and get that moment of just, you know, just not craziness. And what will they, and the experience they get, what will they call it? What level of consciousness? Spiritual. All it was not insane.
Just relaxing a little bit, yeah.
You know, that's all. You know, just the moment of, you understand? So that's why it's maybe thought, oh, this is spiritual. But who defines New Age as spiritual? The Vedas don't. The New Ages do. You understand? So it's a modern, Western thing. The Vedas never describe it as spiritual. Right? The top philosophy is Jaimini, is that he's not saying it's spiritual, he's just saying you can be happy here.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. So that's the thing. So they never make that mistake. So this is a modern mistake. Right? So that's the difficulty. And because of that condition, we don't notice. Does that make sense? And so we can easily fall into that and make a mistake. That way. So that's the point, is that this exclusive chanting of the holy name, that this is the process, everything else is in support. It's not a problem that all these other Vedic aspects, but they're in support of the holy name. They're not equal to or independent of the holy name. Right? That's the whole.
This is, we have a...
Time flies.
Yeah, either that or... We have a... For those within the state of Punjab, they might have a problem. It's a local joke all over India. Is that the Punjabi gentleman, he went and he bought himself a clock or a watch. And then he came back the next day and says, you know, something's wrong with the watch. Right? You know, one of the hands fell off or something happened. And then the watch guy says, no, baro bajgiya, it's 12 o'clock. Right, so. Yes, so we have. Yes. Okay, so we'll have to look at this one. Okay, yes.
If somebody turns offensive, I mean, with offenses, but not intensive.
Then you get, you'll become purified.
It'll take time.
Yeah. But the point is once you get to Namabas, things speed up. Yes, it went really nicely quickly for Ajahn. But that's the point is offensive chanting, depending on the degree and severity, then it will be slow. But as soon as we get past that or start to get past that, then you'll see things speed up.
So we can say that Namabas slows the process and Namabas speeds it up.
Yes.
And Sudanam just beats the pace.
Yeah, makes it even faster. Because you're trying to get the prana, so the Sudanam that will get you the prana. Yes.
Looking back to religion, can it be like, you know, also like innocent, it's not as you know, one's not able to follow the common stuff.
Yes, the difference between innocent and chanting. We're even going to lose the third hand. Just about. About to stop. Okay, so then when they learn about what is proper, they'll do it. You understand? But when they learn about it, then they oppose it, that means it's not innocent. Those who say, you know, we're devotees, we don't follow the rules, depending on what's their reason. If someone's too attached to the rules and you say, we're devotees, we don't care about the rules, that's appropriate. Because you see that also. Because Niyamagraha goes both ways. Either we don't understand, we reject, or we don't understand and we follow. Right? In a dogmatic kind of way. So that's the whole thing, is that it's the words are there to express something. Right? Specific words are used because they apply in a very specific way. But at the same time, is there's a principle behind that. Right? So for every secondary, there's a primary. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. It's just like, let's say, we're trying to get something small, like a vegetable. Okay, so we would use a grater because it gets it the most kind of small and thin. But if you don't have that, then if you're very careful, you could cut things very, very thin. It's just for the time spent, the grating will be easier. You understand? But it's not about the grater. It's about the getting the vegetables small. Does that make sense? That's what we're trying to do. So the rules of the Vedas are explaining through the secondary aspect what to do, but it's not about the secondary aspect. It's about the primary. And so then, but if one says, oh, then we don't need that secondary, the point is no, it's the best. So why, in other words, if you can use the best, why would you use anything else? Does that make sense? So that's where you can tell whether it's a matter of they're innocent or you're dealing with Niyamagraha. Innocent, they just didn't know.
Sometimes the situation, some part of the world, the whole group of devotees follow certain things that are not very, but everyone does it, and the younger devotee might say, but senior does this, and it's something wrong, but everyone does it.
No, but the point is why is the senior doing it? That's there, yeah. You know, so they don't know, so then they learn. So the point is if it's not opposed to the Vedic version, those things are left in place. That's what we see when a new government comes in. Whatever is the local customs that aren't opposed to the Vedic version, they just leave them. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. You know, it's just that's the local flavor and all that kind of thing. Does that make sense? But if it's opposed to the Vedic version, then that has to be adjusted. You know what I'm saying? You know, like coming up while you're, you know, looking at the deities and sprinkling water on the back of your head when you don't know what's coming. It's not against the Vedic version, but that's not actually the recommended process. Right? Does that make sense? Because the idea is to respect the water and you know, that's been offered to the Lord, the argya. And so there's a way of throwing the water in that. But when you have people that don't know how to do that, and then for, you know, years and years and years, all they do is throw, you know, copious handfuls right on your glasses, then leadership tends to say, then throw it from behind. Because you notice, if they throw it from behind, do they throw a lot of water? No, just a little bit of water. But if you stand in front, oh, it's like half the load in your face. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, then one leader, after a while, figured this out and say, you just throw it from behind. Because then at least it's better than a handful of water in your face. But it's not the tradition. Right? So it's become, and then from there, amazingly, basically, it's spread all over the world. You know, just like the new bhaktas, that when you are singing, that's when they'll stick the flower in your nose. When you're not singing, they'll never put the flower in there. How, I don't know, but it seems to be, you know, very well understood. All new bhaktas all over the planet understand this very subtle intricacies of Vedic culture, right? Yes. Just due to lack of training, because they don't know. It's like we were saying before, Mataji's point is about, it's about, sorry. So I just thought yesterday about that. So it would have been a good day to call up Urmila Mataji yesterday and wish her a happy Mother's Day. Yes. Yes. What was the question again? Lack of training, yes. Okay, that's how we got into that. Okay, so you can only be aware of something that you have some kind of reference point. You understand? If there's no reference point, you don't see it. Just like for little children, is, you know, order and everything part of their reference point? No, therefore, for them, toys everywhere in the house is perfectly normal. Right? And the amazing thing is they'll even remember where they left it in the house. Right? You know, and of course, the mother remembers where they left it because they tripped over it. Yes. But, you know, you understand? So, since we're coming from a background in general that doesn't have any culture, we don't see the culture. So if someone's been exposed to culture, they'll catch parts of it, or at least in areas where they're accustomed, right? So in other words, the broader their experience or exposure is to culture, the broader is their ability to catch that there is some Vedic original culture. And then from there, by association, by studying, then you can take it further. Does that make sense? But there has to be something to start with. You know, it's just like when you're making, when you take the sugarcane juice and cook it down, you get it to a particular consistency. And then you have to get it to granulate. Right? So there's a way of, you can either mix it, work with it in a certain way until it does, then put that part into the rest of it, and then it starts a chain reaction so the whole thing will crystallize. Or you have to take one crystal of sugar and drop it in there. Like that. Does that make sense? But then that means you have to remember to bring it with you, so it's easier to just, you know, do it from what's there. But you have to start it, there has to be a catalyst. So if we haven't come across culture, then we don't see that. You know, does that make sense? You know, so certain things are there inherent, that someone does something different than what you're doing, and so therefore, you know, they have to be disposed of. You know, so that's pretty standard Western European think.
Yes.
Right? You know, so then, you know, if there's anything religious or sensual or political or anything, you get rid of them, right? And that's the easiest solution. Out of sight, out of mind, right? You know. Does that make sense? So, inherently, you'll see people will do that, right? But when it comes to culture more than that, then that's going to be according to whatever they're exposed to, right? And then by association, they can pick up more. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of association. We value it, then we see it. Well, then we'll follow it. We don't value it. We don't see it. We don't get it. It requires a level. Goodness makes it easier to follow a religious process that is in goodness. We're used to passion and ignorance, right? Someone doesn't, follow the particular faith you have, then you take them down into the basement, and you have all kinds of nice furnitures and that to convince them that they're following the wrong path. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so it's a matter of goodness is generally beyond the scope of the Western culture. You know,
in quote.
Yes, okay. Okay. Yes. Does that make sense? He said, end quote. Or, what is it? Roll credits. You know. You understand? So it's the point is, but it only takes just something to make us aware. You know, some devotee, how they do something is explained, something is seen, something has an effect, and then we should become aware, and then it can grow. But until we are, then there's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's like a child, you do everything for them until a day comes that they want to do it themselves. Right? Does that make sense? So it just stays like that. So that's what's happening. But the point is that they take part in other things and like that. That's where you encourage them. Right? So you encourage them where there's interest. Right? Does that make sense? At least on the spiritual. Material, that you're supposed to do. So technically the culture you're supposed to do, but since there's no interest, therefore you don't push it. You had something?
I was having a small question in comparison to Namabas and Namaparad. Is it connected to the Anathani Ruti Mishra?
You can connect it there. You would basically say that someone is going to be, at least on, you would expect on Namabas on the platform Nishta. Yeah. But then they have to, more has to go to actually get taste.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like that. But that would be your general, like that. It's not that here, Ajamil, he's not known as a great, you know, how you say, solid practitioner. Yeah, yeah, great sadhaka. But he chanted Nama Bas. That means anybody can chant in that. But it's just a matter of if it's consistent. So we could say, is the Madhyama, it would be consistent. Well, the neophyte, it'll be here and there. You know, so it'll be a mixed kind of thing. While there, it'll be predominantly Nama Bas. There may be still some offensive chanting, but generally by the time you get to Ruchi, then you would say that offensive chanting would be gone. Yes?
The difference
between
levels of devotees
with the Madhyama itself,
according to the level of faith
chanting? That's one of the ways. It means their way, faith, chanting, and understanding the scripture. So that's what Lord Chaitanya gives. Right, so the neophyte, when you're dealing with scripture, means they don't really know much. Right? The Madhyama knows more, but not necessarily everything. And the Uttama, doesn't matter who they're talking to, they always have something to say, they can always convince them. The Madhyama may himself be convinced, but not able to convince someone else, you know, in certain circumstances. The neophyte then would mean then they just don't have any idea, like Kashimishra. You know, the Mayabadis have their philosophy, he didn't even try. You know, does that make sense? So that would be there. Then when you're dealing in, so these may be separate things, they may be overlapping, right? Then in faith, the neophyte, his faith can be shaken. The Madhyama can't be shaken, and the Uttama, then they're, you know, they're very solid. Does that make sense? And in chanting, then the neophyte, you know, chants, I say, you know, it's something that's, they do, it's important for them, but, you know, there's so many other things that are important. Right? The Madhyama would be more focused on the chanting. The Uttama is said, by seeing them, that makes others chant. You know, so that's the thing. When we do things that represent what, you know, Prabhupada gave, like we go out on Harinam, then people just say, oh, Hare Krishna. That's because we're representing with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada being Uttama, so therefore they chant. You understand? And then ourselves, we may be more and more qualified, so even on our own, it may be happening. But the main point is that we're following Prabhupada. So even the neophyte can get the Uttama effect if they just do what Prabhupada says. We make up our own, go out in our own, you know, shabby-looking Western clothes, and then nobody chants, and nobody thinks what you're wearing is very good, and no one would want to talk to you anyway. So it's not a problem. You don't want to preach, they don't want to talk to you. Everybody's happy.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Are you saying? No, I said, like Cubby says? You know, you get the double effect, the miss out, you know, like that. No, it's kind of that line in between. You don't lose, you don't win, with this kind of...
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Like liberation.
Yeah, like liberation. You won, but you came in last. Everybody else went back to Godhead, and you're still here.
Breaking even.
Huh?
Breaking even.
Yeah, but the problem, you don't even break even.
There are still bills to pay.
Yes, yes. And the Yamadutas are the best bill collectors. Bill collectors, repo men. Yeah, you know, they're come to inform you what's good and not good for your health. Yeah, the whole thing. Okay. Sloka Anusharanam. Verses 1 to 10. The Yamadutas doubt the supremacy of their master and a question seemingly counterproductive and seemingly counterproductive system of governance. Right? So they feel that the Vishnadutas disrespected Yamaraj by not allowing his servants to do the work. Now the servants are disrespecting Yamaraj. You know, because we thought you were supreme, and now you're not, right? You know, so.
What's going on?
Yeah, so this is, you know, this is your standard, you know, the modern kind of thing is that, you know, you know, I'd been cheated. He never told me the truth. And, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's not a new thing. We think it's a new thing, but the Yamadutas, they also thought like that. 11 to 21, the hierarchy of Dharma. 22 to 35, the glory of Sankirtan. Verses 1 to 10, the Yamadutas doubt the supremacy of their master and question a seemingly counterproductive system of governance. After hearing about the apparent baffled plans of Yamaraj and the perplexed state of the Yamadutas, Maharaj Parikit asked Sukadeva Goswami to elaborate on how Yamaraj responded to his confused and disappointed servants. Right, so this kind of situation, top to bottom, right?
It's like this just,
no, I mean, it's just everybody. Like that. King Parikit said, "Oh my Lord, O Sukadeva Goswami, Yamaraj is the controller of all living entities in terms of their religious and irreligious activities, but his order had been foiled. When his servants, the Yamadutas, informed him of their defeat by the Vishnadutas, who had stopped them from arresting Ajamil, what did he reply? O great sage, never before has it been heard anywhere that an order from Yamaraj has been baffled. Therefore, I think that people will have doubts about this that no one but you can eradicate. Since that is my firm conviction, kindly explain the reasons for these events." So here, he's asking a question, but he's also expecting that the person who he's asking can give the answer. So that's also a point. You know, unless you just want to make a point, then technically you should ask a rhetorical question. That would be the proper etiquette. You don't want an answer, you just say rhetorical question. So you've made your point, but it sounds submissive because you said it as a question. But here we see is that they have doubts, but, you know, it's thought that, no, he can answer. Does that make sense? So that's why I said, you know, in other words, we have problems, we just want to discuss it because it's our problem. Then that's not going to be good. Right? Because then we won't get. That's not submissive hearing. Submissive means we actually think, yes, you know, the Bhagavatam can answer all questions, Prabhupada, the Acharyas, they can answer all questions. So that's why we're studying. Otherwise, sometimes people, you know, just are interested in something that bothers them.
That's a job. Right?
Yeah, that'll just be job. You know, somebody annoys you, so you try to find out about them, who are they, what's the background, and like that. So it appears that there's questioning. They might even get close a while just to find out who they are, and like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, just that they're inquisitive, mm-hmm. but not that they actually want to establish a relationship. So that's not how we study. We study this because we have faith that Bhagavatam and the Acharyas, they can actually answer all questions. Then, if we have doubts, then fine. We put forward the doubts because we know they can be cleared, and we want them to be cleared. That's another thing. So we ask a question because we want the doubt to go away. Not that we just like to nourish it, and so asking questions is another way of nourishing. Does that make sense? Sri Sukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear King, when the order carriers of Yamaraj were baffled and defeated by the order carriers of Vishnu, they approached their master, the controller of Samyamani Puri and master of sinful persons, to tell them of this incident." I think Samanyapuri is the place where the Pitris are. Yamaraj, that's where he's in his court, and he looks like a nice demigod, mm-hmm. like that. You know, so that means his court means his personal court, not court where people are judged. We're not talking about that. That one generally is, depending upon if they're pious or impious, is more or less nice.
Yes.
You know, so I guess, you know,
that's how you say it. Private.
Yeah, this is just where he's there, and that's, you know, the what do you call it, the Pitris are, and like that. This is where they interact. So the other one then, I guess, you know, then they have all the different props in the wings, and then the Yamadutas bring them out, you know, so the sinful person, so they bring out all the really heavy stuff, and more nice, they bring out all, drop the, you know, the backdrop that has all the, you know, landscape and all that. And, you know, like that. Yeah. Yes. They're from that place. Exactly where they hang out, I'm not sure. It doesn't really say that. You know, so I don't know the details. We'd have to.
Because they're visual appearances, they're not at the place.
No, but they're pious, so at least their mood is nice. Right there. You have to get beyond the externals. But most likely they have their own place to hang out.
Yeah, because having
is a lot about externals. Yes, it is. Yeah. But still, you know, they're the servants. So they must have, you know, they're properly taken care of. How many causes are the Yamaduta said, our dear Lord, how many controllers or rulers are there in this material world, right? Because he said, is there someone else? No, how many are there? Is there unlimited? Oh, there's that. Who are we? Like that, a whole identity crisis.
Yeah.
So you see, this is the natural thing. It doesn't. It's not just one. It's just, you know, like that. How many causes are responsible for manifesting the various results of activities performed under the three modes of material nature, sattva, guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, right? Because they're under the impression that there's three modes of nature, they're being controlled like that, and, you know, they're going and collecting everybody and Haribol, right? Because you saw before, they knew the philosophy quite well. So up to the viraja, they knew quite well. They just didn't know it was beyond, so they don't know how the Lord is involved. But if you left the Lord out of it, then they know the, you know, the Vedas, you know, as well or better than anyone. Mm-hmm. Right? But as soon as you add the Lord, that's the part where they don't know. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. We lost our A again. A again.
Huh?
Oh, I see. Though we defeat all others in the world, we have suffered defeat from the four persons with four arms. Yeah, because there's three of them, two arms each, that's six. There's four of them, four arms each, that's 16. You know? Not fair. Right? After punishing them, we will then bring Ajamil to hell. If we cannot do so, we are servants of a firefly. After this, we can no longer serve, right? So unless, you know, he corrects it, we can't do, right? You see, it's just, it's because it's the modes of nature. It's just the standard unfolding of events, right? That I'm not sure, but it's the standard thing is that, you know, they had that faith and then something goes wrong and then is there anything? Is it all? Is it just all, you know, just everything goes and then, you know, so either it's corrected and that and it goes the way we expect it to, or that's it, we're finished, we're not dealing. So, yeah. And that's all before breakfast. Yeah. Okay. Thinking in this way internally, with choked syllables, they then challenge Yamaraj. Trividyam means three types, right? Because their identity is with Yamaraj. So that's their whole existence. So if he's not in the position they think he's in, that means their whole identity also goes. And so, you know, functioning without identity doesn't work very well. Yes? A baby that was born with four arms. How you say it? You didn't see the warning at the top of the page? Too much YouTube rocks your brain. Huh? Four arms? Who knows? I'm not going to say that this is a Vaikuntavasi or this or that. You know, if they're everything's very nicely proportioned and the forearms work very, very well and everything like that, and especially if they're blue, then like that. But otherwise, you know, who knows? Didn't means they didn't quite make it. These things we don't generally get involved too much in these things. You know what I'm saying? Because the Vishnu Duta is the consciousness. Right? Because they have that consciousness, then they'll do fine. Right? So then the devatas means that they have partial powers of the Lord, but they don't have that same elevated consciousness and pure devotion. Right? And then pious people means then again, you know, there's qualification and all that, but then, you know, they're only connected to themselves. Like the demigods, they are using that power because that's their position, that's their duty. But done on this platform, someone's using so much position and all that, that's technically for themselves. They may also perform their duties nicely. They do that, then they qualify themselves to be demigods. Does that make any sense? Does that work? Yeah. So, yeah, don't worry about four-armed babies. And was there a conch club disc and lotus when they were? If you got that, then you know, okay, here's a Vishnu. Yeah, something's going on. Yes. It'll be the same thing. What we're saying is this is a typical pattern. It can be anybody you see as authority, you know, as an individual, an institution, the sampradaya, Krishna himself. Because as soon as you pull out the principle of authority anywhere, it's a chain reaction. It goes all the way to the top. That's why this point of taking out authority, even though it doesn't seem like a big thing, because in the modern, then, you know, authority issues is pretty standard. In fact, if you follow authority, you're kind of weird. You know, what's wrong with this guy? What's his motive? Why is he doing this? Rather than, why don't they have authority? Why don't they accept authority? What's their motive? What's wrong with that? No, that's taken as standard. Well, before it is that it would be taken the other way. But that one thing actually is one of your biggest impediments in devotional service. And then, but, so, because that's the actual main thing, then generally those who have authority issues, that authority becomes their own mind. So they replace, you know, authority, absolute authority, with relative authority. And so they relativize everything. So whether they're coming from more of a religious kind of angle on, morality and justice, or more academic, or more economic, or more administrative, that means everybody can do it. Does that make sense? Yes, but they accept their authorities, but you don't. But if they lose faith in authority, means they never had a concept of faith in authority. Someone who has faith in the principle of authority, just because the authority does something wrong, doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, you go into the kitchen and you want to do something, but the pot you want is dirty. You know, so is that it? You're finished, and you know the whole thing is that, or. You know what I'm saying? So if someone somebody in a position of authority does something wrong, and that's it, they're willing to give up everything, means they never actually, the principle of authority isn't actually very strong in them as a person. Otherwise, you can't shake the principle. You just shift it from one to the next. Right? Does that make sense? The kid likes toys, and then they go, and the toy's broken. Is that it? They're finished. They're rolling on the ground. Their identity's finished. They just pick up another toy.
Could be for a little while. Is this their favorite toy?
Oh, that's there. Okay. But, yeah, okay. But still, the concept of toys and playing is, like, well situated. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Or the businessman. He starts one business. It fails. Does that mean now it's it? He finished, and he, you know. Like that. He just starts another one until it works. Because he has faith that economics works. Right? Administrators, the same. They go to manage something. It doesn't work. They try another thing, until it works. Like that. Does that make sense? So this whole idea of that, you know, the authority this and that, and they lost their faith and this and that, this is about people, by the authority list, of the authority list, for the authority list. It's not anything glorious. It sounds glorious by New Age speak.
but it's New Age speak. Okay, that works. You understand? So New Age speak has so many little phrases and concepts, but the basic thing comes down to, I don't accept any authority other than my own mind. Even that's crazy, so I have a problem with that sometimes also.
That's why I keep changing processes.
Yeah. You understand? So it's a principle, but otherwise it's like people go all the time. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, is that show is what was his name? He's saying Krishna Bhajanamrita? Narhari Chakrabarti. He said even at the time of Lord Chaitanya, hundreds of gurus fell down. Hundreds. We don't even have that much. We haven't had that many fall down. What? You know, 5, 10, 20? You know, I mean, he said hundreds. It goes on. Everything goes on. Because the point is, spiritual world's there, material world's, you know, what it is. So if we have faith in the spiritual, then what material can shake it? Does that make sense? So that's the point. If we want authority, we want that, then we can find it. If it's not in this person, it's in someone else. And it's not that the principle is that, oh, they did something, so everything was wrong. No, what was right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. Let us say you have someone, you know, fairly mature in dealing in the kitchen. Okay, and you give them a basket of potatoes. Okay, and there's some spots on some of the potatoes, or many of the potatoes that aren't good. What do? You throw out the basket of potatoes? No. You go through and take out the bad parts. But this modern concept, you find one thing wrong, then the potatoes finish. In fact, the whole basket. In fact, get rid of the basket. You know, who brought the basket? Let's get him also. You know, so the circle of 10, you know, is applied. Like that. You know, suddenly, you know, out in the middle of a village somewhere, this little old lady is sitting there, and these guys all, you know, in their coats and their things show up, and we heard you made the basket. Yeah. Right. You understand? So that's a problem. So it's just out of sentiment that we say, it's not that there's not a problem, but the problem is way greater than simply the authorities made a mistake. It's that the individual who has a problem with that, they also have a problem. You know what I'm saying? If it causes lack of faith in authority. If it's just a matter of, okay, this person or these persons you can't trust in an authoritative position, but others you can, then that's normal. And if even despite that you don't become disturbed and you're praying for their benefit, then we know we have somebody who's understood the Bhagavad Gita. Right? If you see little piles of ashes, then we still haven't learned everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, figure out one hand. So, this would be the Buddhist question. Yes. The sound of one hand, you know, tiny.
Yes.
Or not, I mean, the look of one hand tiny. Okay. Yes. Srila Prabhupada adds, because the Yamadutas had been defeated and their master could not protect them, they were inclined to say that there was no need to serve such a master. If a servant cannot carry out the orders of his master without being defeated, what is the use of serving such a powerless master? Right? That's the generic, you know, concept. So it does have a position. If means according to actual authority and Shastra, then someone can't, then why serve such a person? Right? Does that make sense? Like that. But at the same time, if it's done by not understanding or lack of culture, then it's natural that this will come up. It's now it's whether it's valid that you should carry through with it or whether you need to, you know, further thought and education. The Yamadutas continue. If in this universe there are many rulers and justices who disagree about punishment and reward, their contradictory actions will neutralize each other, and no one will be punished or rewarded. Otherwise, if their contradictory acts fail to neutralize each other, everyone will have to be both punished and rewarded. Right? Yes. So they're making this point here. You know, just this is logical what would happen. But also you see here is that this points out is why is everything working so smoothly except for this one incident? Because there must be a supreme controller. There must be a supreme lawmaker. Otherwise, why is it everywhere in the universe everything goes the same? Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. Because the Yamadutas had been unsuccessful in carrying out the order of Yamaraj, they doubted whether Yamaraj actually had the power to punish the sinful. Also, they had gone to arrest Ajamil. Well, that would be good. The sinful, right? Mm-hmm. Although they had gone to arrest Ajamil, following Yamaraj's order, they found themselves unsuccessful because of the order of some higher authority. Therefore, they were unsure of whether there were many authorities or only one. If there are many authorities who gave different judgments, what could be that which could be contradictory? A person might be wrongly punished or wrongly rewarded, or he might be neither punished nor rewarded. Right? Nothing goes wrong, but you don't get any benefit either. Right? According to our experience in the material world, a person punished in one court may appeal to another. Thus, the same man may be either punished or rewarded according to different judgments. However, in the law of nature or the court of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there cannot be such contradictory judgments. The judges and their judgments must be perfect and free from contradictions. Actually, the position of Yamaraj was very awkward in the case of Ajamil, because the Yamadutas were right in attempting to arrest Ajamil, but the Vishnadutas had baffled them. Although Yamaraj, under these circumstances, was accused by both the Vishnadutas and the Yamadutas, he is perfect in administering justice because he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he will explain what his real position is and how everyone is controlled by the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. So, the point is there is only one Supreme Controller. It's just not Yamaraj. So their idea, oh, that there's many and there's this and that. No, it's not there. It's just there is only one. Just he's the servant of that one. So, okay. The Yamadutas continue. Since there are many different karmis or workers, there may be different judges or rulers to give them justice. But just as one central emperor controls different departmental rulers, there must be one supreme controller to guide all the judges. Otherwise, they'll all judge differently. It won't work. That's the problem. The non-Vedic concept is there is all varieties of judgments. But if it's based on the Supreme Lord, then we see is that the judgment comes down to one thing. Right? So that's why it always has to be based on the Veda and based on Krishna consciousness. Someone has to understand the philosophy and understand the culture. Because when we say something goes wrong in behavior, it's in the culture. Rare, it's in the philosophy. So it can be also. So does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada comments, in governmental management, there may be departmental officials who give justice to different persons, but the law must be one, and that central law must control everyone. The Yamadutas could not imagine that two judges would give two different verdicts in the same case, and therefore they wanted to know who the central judge is, right? Because they're the ones who deal with this, and they can't see that this would work out. So that would be the problem in the modern kind of system. Right? So that's why in the Vedic, there is a central rule of laws, and then based on that, then it's judged. Right? So does that make sense? The Yamadutas continued, the supreme judge must be one, not many. It was our understanding that you are that supreme judge and that you have jurisdiction even over the demigods. Our impression was that you are the master of all living entities, the supreme authority who discriminates between the pious and impious activities of all living beings, all human beings. But now we see that the punishment ordained under your authority is no longer effective, since your order has been transgressed by four wonderful and perfect persons. We were bringing the most sinful Ajamil towards the hellish planets, following your order. when those beautiful persons from Siddhaloka forcibly cut the knots of the ropes with which we were arresting him. In his commentary to verse 9, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, this verse explains how it happened. If you, the controller, can bring those four persons here and punish them, then our fire of grief will be extinguished. Yes. The Yamadutas continued, as soon as the sinful Ajamil uttered the name Narayana, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, do not fear, do not fear. We wish to know about them from your lordship. If you think that we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are. Right. So here we see is that they're having this crisis of faith in authority, but not in the principle of authority. Because their point is, you know, there has to be a singular authority. So their problem is there two? Because there can't be two, there has to be one. Does that make sense? And so therefore we see is the etiquette is there. If you feel that we're qualified, you explain this to us. Not that, I found an anomaly in authority, therefore I have the right to know, I have the right to speak, I have the right to, go ballistic, I have, I just have the right, that's all. Whatever I think is right, I have the right. Yes.
Maybe an easy question, but sorry, we should be one.
We have 19 minutes.
Maybe not. If a sorry, we should be one, then what's the place of different committees, even on the level of DEC, whatever?
No, but as it said here, is that you can have all these departmental, what do you call it? Probably you said. His instructions means. Sorry.
It can be interpreted.
It can be, but then interpreted based on what? That's what I was saying. Is if you know the philosophy, you know the culture, then it works very nicely. If you know the philosophy, not the culture, there'll be a problem. Or you know the culture, don't know the philosophy. Or if you don't know the culture and don't know the philosophy, then you really have a problem. Right. So. That's why these things are to be known. That's what Prabhupada's always talking about it. And you see in the Shastras, they go in and out of talking about it there also. Right? You talk about it on the transcendental platform, how it works in the greater social, how it works in a family, how it works in your personal life. So we see that there's the constant discussion of these different levels in the verses themselves and in the purport by the acharya. So that means we need to know that. Then we can do. Committee just means they focus on one area so that things go smoothly. So specialization is not a problem. But it has to be based on a central rule. Rather than just the committee comes up with something, that's not enough. What's its basis of what Prabhupada says? Right? So you can't have the principles that it doesn't matter what Prabhupada says. This is what this is what would be accepted in the modern environment. But the modern environment changes every 6 months, and there's a good chance that the basis that they're making it on is the 6 months that has long passed. It's not a contemporary right now 6 months. So the point is having committees is fine as long as that central authority is there. So that means it has to be based on Prabhupada's wish. That's why Prabhupada said books are the basis. Right? That's the whole point. So that has to be there. Then it works. So that means then the authority of the GBC is supposed to be there. Then these committees have. It can't be that the committees control the GBC either. That's also a problem. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, they're not the ones to affect management. That's done by local authorities, regional authorities that deal on the ground. So that means the highest authority is actually the standards by which managers work, right? And preachers work. That's the highest authority. The idea that a set of rules and enforcing those rules is the highest authority, that concept is for those who don't understand what administration is or what Brahminical culture is. Maybe corporate management, yes, but anything higher than that, absolutely not. And how many understand corporate management? Right? How many big businessmen do we have?
So that means is they're working on a level lower than that. So that's a problem. So you have to know the culture, because if you know the culture, then you understand how the Brahminical culture functions, and what is authority, what is the highest authority. Because otherwise it's taken by the Western thing, highest managerial authority means we're the ones who manage and we just tell everybody what to do. So we're the managers, everybody else are shudras. That's the modern, because everybody wants to be in control, everyone wants a monopoly, you know, at the same time no responsibility, hence the committees. Right? So that's the difficulty. Does that work?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't work.
No, that's the because if you follow what's recommended, it works. You don't follow it, in other words, that's the thing, it's just not like these concepts are old. No, they always work. It's laws of nature. They always work. Is that something? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How does it mean to you that somebody like your family and your children, they run into difficulties serving someone, they approach with the senior, and the senior cannot help them. It's always one in hand, or cannot help them at all.
But it means, is it a situation, the question. If you have a dependent, they have a problem, they go to the authority either doesn't want to or can't adjust the situation what to do. Right? It just depends upon what is the situation that we're discussing. You know what I'm saying? If it's something that's out of the hand, then you just see, you know, whatever's Krishna's arrangement. If it's that, yeah, so you just... Basically, you have to take it on individual case what's there. But the point is the principle of authority remains. It's just a matter of where does that authority lie? Where does the principle of what we should do come from? Right? So it doesn't change the principle. It may change where it's coming from. You know what I'm saying? So there may be certain things in your life that you don't depend upon that person for. The point is do people make mistakes? So then what's the real problem? The devotee themselves, yes. The existence of this devotee. That's the root, yes. The root of all my problems. It means the point is that something goes wrong. So what's the real problem? The real problem is we're not following what is given by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's the real problem. And why is that a problem? Because if you don't follow that, then how do you please Krishna? Not pleasing Krishna, that's the problem. So the root of the problem is what's being done doesn't please Krishna. That's why. Not otherwise. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So it's not something else. We'll take it that it's the something else, that it's the secondary, but it's the primary. Krishna's not pleased. That's the problem. So if you see that, then you can take law all the way back to Krishna. That's the problem. They're not seeing it all the way back. They're seeing the external secondary laws, and as Prabhupada mentioned, they're technically correct in taking him. If you look at the secondary laws, they're sinful. Ajamiel's sinful. They're coming to take him. So according to that law, it's there. But what's the point of the law? The point of the law is to serve the Lord. So now he's served the Lord. Therefore, the law is already accomplished. So therefore, there's no need of this. That's where it comes. Otherwise, you go, oh, but how do we know what to do? Not. It's so contradictory. It's only contradictory because we don't see the principle. So that's what we should educate ourselves in, is what is the principle. That's why Dharmaraj is who he is. That makes a Mahajan. Right? They can understand what is the principal point and therefore how to work. Right? Because between what we say is the secondary and the principal, sometimes there's many steps. So even if we go back one, doesn't mean we got all the way back. It may be a subtler one. But the point is it has to please Krishna. Right? So that's the whole point. You follow the Veda to please Krishna, he's happy. You follow the Veda not to please Krishna, he's not happy. But at least you're following the Veda, you accept authority, it's pious. Right? So, not following the Veda to please Krishna, okay, you're pleasing Krishna, that's good. But the point is ultimately, since it is a person-to-person thing, so based on culture, why wouldn't you follow the order? You understand? You know, maybe in the beginning you don't know, but you're just trying... The point is how do you tell the difference between the person who's innocent and who's not? Basically, the one who's innocent is they're trying to please Krishna. They don't know the philosophy. They don't know the culture. They just know Krishna is supreme. I have that faith. I'm supposed to. Therefore, that's why it works so nicely. They work on principle. And then after a while, when in thinking that the secondary things are the main, when they become good at it, you know, after 2, 3, 4 years, there's sadhana and, you know, the philosophy and things like that, then they start feeling, you know, that they know what's going on. But now if they remember it's to please Krishna, it continues in the same enthusiasm. But if not, then now there'll be all the anomalies in the secondary. Contradictory points, and then one gets distracted. But the point is to please Krishna. So you can do that despite anybody else. That's the whole point. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's final instructions. He makes the point, don't be discouraged that if no one else is interested in Krishna consciousness. Point is it works. It is the natural position. You can go back to Godhead yourself. Even if no one else is interested, you can still go. Right? So that's the point. If we're fixed like that, then we'll be able to find others who have the same determination. Then that nice association, we will advance very nicely. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes.
The Maharaj says the Yamadutta, they are the right attitude because they are revealing their mind to the Maharaj.
Yes, yes. Yamadutas have the right attitude because they have accept authority. They're going to him first. They're not just going off and, you know, going on what do you call it, the internet and making all kinds of accusations and stuff, you know. You know.
And even if they are a little angry like that, at least they express their doubt.
Yes, but they go in, you see, they do it nicely.
Yeah.
They're not going in and, you know, and taking it that how they perceive it is the final. They're presenting this is the doubt that's come up, because you've always been the authority, then, you know, and had authority over everyone. Now these guys come along and you're not the authority over everyone. So then, you know, since we're, you know, supposed to serve authority, then please explain this. So then that's honest, that's straightforward. Because then you can give a proper answer. But if it's all about rights, you can't give an answer. A person who thinks it's my right, doesn't matter what you say, it'll never be right. So in other words, someone who has rights, no one else can be right. They're the only one that's right. Everybody else is wrong. So that's the problem with this concept of rights. Because there's no obligation. See, there, they have their right to know, but they have their obligation that only if we're qualified and to speak properly. And to go to him, go to authority, not go and, you know, how you say, to Jalpa, you know. So,
because they don't understand the principle, they can always find contradictions.
Yes.
You said this and then this happened.
Yeah. So, but the principle of authority they accept,
yes.
They just don't, they always thought he was the supreme authority. Yes. That's been doubted now.
Yeah, and that can work.
Right? So now they can work because the principle of authority is in place. That's what we're saying, is if someone accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness, even if something goes wrong, you can work. You know, like we were saying the other day.
Yeah.
Guru goes, but the principle of Guru remains. You know, so, no, but how can I have the faith? And the point is then you have the problem. Right? Guru has his own problems, but you have problems. No, but how can this go on? How can, you know, but who are you to say that, how can this go on? How are we the judge? You know what I'm saying? So this is all taking in the point of the philosophy and the principles of culture. You know what I'm saying? In actual dealing, then you're very nice and supportive. But the point is that there's this attitude that, no, I have the right to know whatever I think and whatever I feel, that's reality. rather than I may be thinking and feel this, and this is what's going on, it's a fact, or whether it's actual reality or whether it's illusion. Like illusion that it exists is a fact. That's the whole point. It's not that it's an illusion that there's illusion. Right? That's the Mayavadis.
Yeah.
No, we say illusion is real in that it's a fact that exists, but illusion means it's an illusion. Right? So. Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. The order carriers of Yamaraj, being very much aggrieved because of their defeat by the four Vishnu Dutas, wanted to bring them before Yamaraj, and if possible, punish them. Right? Wanted to bring the four Vishnu Dutas.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so. Otherwise, they desired to commit suicide. Right? So they weren't just saying, you know, we're out of. Right? So, let's blow this popcorn stand. Right? You know, they weren't saying like that. They're just, you know, then, you know, what's the point of our existence? Before pursuing either course, right? Punishing the Vishnu Dutas or killing themselves, right? It always has to be something extreme, right? When something goes wrong, it has to be so extreme, otherwise where's the drama? However, they wanted to know about the Vishnu Dutas from Yamaraj, who is also omniscient. Right? Because he's there, he knows every living entity in the universe, so why you would expect him to be an actual good supreme authority? But then there's these ones that are beyond. Verses 11 to 21, the hierarchy of dharma. Having heard the Yamadutas uttering the name of Lord Narayana, while relating the incident with Ajamil, Yamaraj became happy and took the opportunity to educate his students about Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Dharma. Because before that, they were only interested in the piety, you know, dharma that will elevate them to heavenly planets or keep them there. Right? Now they start talking about Narayana. I mean, it's not that they don't know about him, but they just know him beyond somehow another. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You saw what they were talking before, but then in that it makes Yamaraj the supreme authority in adjudicating God's law. Right? But they didn't understand that there's pious, impious, and there's devotional. Mm-hmm. Right? Karma, akarma, okarma. They didn't know this.
So interesting that Yamaraj becomes happy. The challenge is
because now he can talk about Narayana.
Yeah, it's not like a false ego thing.
No, that's the point. This concept of question and answers is very much part of the Vedic system. The modern is it's not appreciated because people don't know how to ask questions.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say you have a press conference. It's all about questions and answers. But the problem is the press does not know how to ask questions. Not saying that the people who they're asking questions to know how to give answers.
Absolutely.
You know, but the point is they don't know how to ask questions because for them it has to be good copy that people read. Therefore, their whatever institution they represent will stay in the money like that. So it's purely an economic consideration. It's you use truth. You can sell truth. If you just facts, who wants, you know, people want to listen to scientists, they got facts, right? But if you take it and call the same thing and call it truth, then suddenly it takes on this whole pranamoyic thing, right? Because if it's just facts, it's facts by the senses, right? So that means then it is anamoya. So it's a lower level of consciousness. So by trying to package these same anamoya facts in truth, then now it suddenly becomes a higher level, and you know, and for pranamoyists, that will be spiritual, something great, something special. So then, you know, of course, everybody, as soon as you say that, then you know, there's that big, you know, the how you say, what would be, I'm not sure what the instrument is, but you know, there's that kind of milieu of musical instruments that play a very harmonizing note, you know, da, like this, you know, and everybody stands back because truth has been spoken, you know.
Yeah,
No, because those move. This is just a, you know, a blend of all kinds of just, you know, it's a singular note, just dun, you know, and you know, coming from the sky, and everybody, oh, that's it, that's the, you know, yes, so then, you know, that's it, pranamoya. Okay, where are we? Sukadeva Goswami said, thus having been questioned, Lord Yamaraj, the supreme controller of the living entities, was very pleased with his ordinaries because of hearing from them the holy name in Narayanam. He remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and began to reply. Srila Prabhupada comments, Srila Yamaraj, the supreme controller of the living entities, in terms of their pious and impious activities, was very pleased with his servants because they had chanted the holy name of Narayana in his dominion. Yamaraj has to deal with men who are all sinful and who can hardly understand Narayana. Consequently, when his order carriers uttered the name of Narayana, he was extremely pleased, for he is also a Vaishnava. Right? So just that they, in his court, where generally it's only discussion of law, and someone started talking about Narayana and his order carries of Vishnu, then he was very happy because now finally some spiritual discussion, right? Yeah, some substance. Otherwise, it's just day in, day out. Just this guy did this, that guy did that, you know. And so then it's a whole problem. So finally, some fresh air. So he was very happy. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitya Gaura Premanandi.